Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called, Is Fulfillment Really the Secret to Losing Weight? When Freeman Michaels was on The Young and the Restless, he weighed 175 pounds, but he was starving himself and smoking cigarettes in order to maintain that weight. And still, he says, he was always 10 pounds away from perfect. And we all suffer from those ifs in life. We think we need to be happy. If I could only lose 10 pounds, then I'd be happy. Or if I could only get the perfect job or the perfect girl. What we're really looking for is fulfillment. Freeman says the steps to happiness have to include having compassion for the person you are today, figuring out what you really want out of life, and taking the steps towards that future. And in this audio interview, you'll hear all about that road to success and how to use it to stop beating yourself up about losing weight already and start giving yourself the gift of releasing that weight and how to do it. You'll also learn the secret about the secret and why Freeman says affirmations without action is delusion. In other words, making vision boards and thinking positively are not the only things you need to attract success. Here's how to include an action plan, too. You'll hear why Freeman says you actually need to throw away the scale in order to lose weight. You'll hear the difference between confronting someone and carefronting them, and how carefronting actually benefits you, too. You'll hear how to use the power of daily intentions to try a new life on, one step at a time, while keeping your action plan going. You'll hear the 7 giving practices that can enhance your emotional well-being and happiness. And you'll hear the real problem with traditional therapy and why it may only make the problem worse by dwelling on all the negatives. You'll also hear how to find the real wounds in your life and unwind your story so you can truly heal, and how that relates to weight loss. Hint, it's all in the way you choose to interpret things. And one more, you'll also hear about the decision-making skills you can learn from emergency workers. Freeman says that you can't judge or guilt trip yourself into positive change. It just doesn't work that way, especially when it comes to losing the weight. You have to come into it with an attitude of loving and nurturing yourself and everyone around you as well. And in this audio interview, you'll hear all about it and how it fits together so you can become the fulfilled you you were meant to be. Now let's get going.
Hi, this is Chris Costello, and I've teamed up with Michael Senoff to bring you the world's best health-related interviews. So if you know anyone struggling with their weight, with cancer, diabetes, ADHD, autism, heart disease, or other health issues, send them over to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. And today we're talking with Freeman Michaels, author of Weight Release, A Liberating Journey, a powerful new way to release weight forever. Freeman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Chris.
So you talk about weight release, and for our listeners out there that are struggling with weight issues and obesity, what is weight release?
Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a weight loss program, because I really don't want to see people lose anything. And when we're talking about weight, we're talking really about the patterns of behavior around food. If people lose those patterns or they give them up, they're going to have to find them or replace them because they've served a valuable purpose. I have struggled with weight myself throughout my life. And for me, what I recognize is that the eating patterns were a way that I coped with stress or anxiety. For a lot of people, carrying extra weight can be a way that they protect themselves from unwanted attention or make themselves feel bigger in the world. So there's a lot of reasons for the pattern of behavior. So if we don't recognize what the pattern of behavior is really all about and find what I call self-honoring ways to meet those needs, then the weight has to return. And that's really why 95% of diets don't work.
And Freeman, part of this inspiration sounds like it came from your own experience, and you were an actor. I don't watch soap, so I don't know for sure, but you're probably the sexy, hunky, one of the guys on Young and the Restless, right?
No, that's right. Okay. And what I was doing at that time, because I was very, very thin, I was 175 pounds. And I have to tell you, 175 pounds is not my natural weight. So at that point in my life, I was starving myself. I was eating in an unhealthy way. I was even smoking cigarettes. You know, I would go to the gym at like midnight because I was obsessing. I had this relationship with the scale. You know, I was always 10 pounds from perfect. It was the way that I judged myself. It was sort of the critic in me projected onto this scale. And I did that for many, many years. And so when I quit acting, I went on a bit of a binge. And this is true. Whenever you diet, whenever you restrict, then it's going to be followed by a binge. I know that personally because I went on that ride. And so I did, and I started to balloon. But the real crisis happened. I became a real estate developer. And when the market fell apart, I fell apart. And that's a little bit true. You know, my sense of self, I sort of constructed it, that I was successful because I made a lot of money. That really came apart. I actually had an event where I was in the hospital. I went to the emergency room with chest pain, and I wasn't having a heart attack. It was anxiety. But the doctor said to me, look, if you don't get your weight under control, you're going to have a heart attack or something's going to happen because, you know, from a health standpoint, I was abusing my body. For many years, I had done personal growth work, and I was working on my master's degree in spiritual psychology, but some part of me didn't connect the dots. I sort of had the spiritual stuff and the psychological stuff over there. But I recognized at that moment it was time to put the pieces together. So that's how the book was born, and that's when I really took the principles and applied them to myself. And I'd already started doing life coaching, so this became me sort of coaching myself, and then, of course, I started taking on clients who were struggling with weight. And so that's how the program grew to what it is today.
Well, I guess what I want to ask first is, how did you discover this? You know, obviously it was a personal journey, and how did you come up with this roadmap?
Well, part of it is, I said earlier about needs, is that I started to recognize my patterns and link my patterns to needs. And so I created these practices, and this was part of the work I was doing, working a lot with intention and creating a vision. And then the thing about intention and vision, and it's very popular in the sort of dialogue that's happening around The Secret came out, people are doing vision boards and things like this. I often say that an affirmation without action is delusion. In other words, if we just say nice things about ourselves, we actually have to do something. And that's where the sort of rubber hits the road, as it were, for me, is that I recognized that I had been doing a lot of the spiritual talk or psychological background, but I wasn't doing the steps. So what I had to create for myself, the self-care practice, and I also had to recognize the pattern of behavior and find a way to interrupt those patterns. So here's what I developed. I often use the analogy of an emergency worker who arrives at, let's say, an accident or a fire, right? And what they've done is they've actually rehearsed or practiced these ways of decision-making ahead of time. And see, I had to do the same thing. So I had to create these practices that I worked on ahead of time. So when I got triggered and I was in that unconscious eating pattern, I could interrupt it, and I had something to do. See, that's a huge piece, because so often, even if we recognize we're in a pattern, you actually have to have a way of interrupting the pattern, and then you have to have something to replace it, because again, it's linked to something deeper than just the eating. Does that make sense?
It does. So how does somebody start? I mean, in your book, Weight Release, one of the things you mentioned is throw out the scale, which is really radical for a lot of people, probably.
Yeah, because it's not a self-loving instrument, and it sure as heck wasn't for me. I mean, again, I was always 10 pounds from perfect. I was always judging myself. If I ever wanted to feel bad about myself, I could go stand on that thing. And it's like people look in the mirror and they don't like themselves, and that's the foundation for their change. It's not going to be lasting. I mean, it just doesn't work. You can't judge and guilt trip yourself into loving yourself. You know, it just doesn't work. So when people decide they don't like themselves as this sort of launching for any diet or weight loss program, what happens is they make horrible choices, and I know I did. And what I find is, what I used to do is I used to choose really extreme programs, and I think it was the way that I was punishing myself. You know, it's these boot camps, and the thing is, that's not sustainable. You know, you can't go on the watermelon diet and eat watermelon for the rest of your life. It's not a self-honoring choice. And so I had to learn to make choices, just things like exercise that I like. I don't do the extreme stuff. I don't go to the gym. I don't like the gym. I walk every day. I mean, it sounds so simple, but that's really it. I mean, I walk every day, and my wife and I do yoga 2 or 3 times a week, and that's it. That's the exercise. I mean, it's not an intense program in that regard. Cumulatively, the choices I'm making around the kind of food I want to eat, it's not about restricting. It really isn't. It's a different orientation, and then it's really sustainable because I'm so grateful for this process, and the food I eat, I taste it in a different way.
And so, Freeman, when somebody comes to you that's really overweight, where do you start?
Well, we start with an inventory, and this is going to sound a little bit odd, too, is that we really want to know where their level of fulfillment is in their lives. Because from my perspective, fulfillment is the only accurate measure of success. And I'll explain this a little. At least for me, I had all these outside notions of what would make me happy, right? If I had enough money, I'd be happy. If I had letters after my name or got the girl or had the big house. All these things I was chasing, and I got some of those things. I mean, I was on a soap opera. I did make a lot of money as a real estate developer. And none of them inherently were fulfilling.
You had the dream that many, many people want at that point, it sounds like.
No, that's right. That's the craziness of it all. And so what I recognized is that I had to find out what really feeds me. And that's really the right word. So what we want to orient these folks towards, first we do an inventory of fulfillment, and then we want to recognize the quality in certain experiences that made those experiences fulfilling. And then we want to direct their lives. We use intention, which is a held thought. And we want to direct their lives towards those qualities. And what we want is their level of fulfillment goes up in their lives. So we want to recognize what choices in their lives are serving them and what choices in their lives are not serving them. And in this context, a lot of the choices, unconscious as they may be, around food may not be serving them. So we want to shift that so that their focus now becomes on what it is they do want for their lives. And this is a big distinction, by the way, between what I do and maybe what a therapist might do. Now, I'm not putting down therapy in general, but I can see some pitfalls with it. And having done some of it myself, I know that oftentimes when you walk into a therapist's office, the first question is, what's the problem? And see, that's the focus. And in order to be in therapy, you kind of got to keep having a problem. What they're giving you is compassion. So that's a piece. So we still want to get the compassion, but we don't want to dwell on the problem. See, then we feel like a victim. And that's a very disempowering place to come from. This is a different orientation.
Right. I love that story in the book where the overweight woman comes to you and says, so how are you going to make me lose weight?
Yeah, that's right. And I said, I'm not. She was ready to walk out the door. And
right.
The other part was she had lost a lot of weight. And I said, first of all, I'm not going to make you lose weight. And the second thing is I'm concerned about the weight you've lost because she had this whole self-denial, this rejection of herself. And she was such a beautiful woman. It's so wonderful to see her incrementally over time shift in her own brain to getting it, you know, loving herself. And I hear from her once in a while, she's doing great. So this has been the real joy, too, is that it isn't that I was able to do something for myself. It's that the clients who I've been working with who are really getting these principles, I call it a liberating journey. And the liberation is really releasing a thought system, releasing the burden of a thought system that has us kept in these unhealthy patterns. Because it is such a burden. Anyone who's caught in the unhealthy pattern knows it. They feel guilty and they thin out all the time. I mean, I know I did. And so to help them to liberate from the thinking, the weight is second. I mean, we watched it. Yeah, it's great. It's getting released. But the orientation towards really nurturing, taking care of themselves, and learning how to lead with their gifts, talents, and abilities, see, that's for me very fulfilling to watch that occur.
For more interviews on health, mind, body, and spirit, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Very transformational, I would imagine.
That's it. And the transformation is an inside-out approach. And so many people want to do it from the outside in. It doesn't work. And you have to really have compassion for yourself. Because compassion is the doorway to clarity. Judgment is a distortion. When we are judging, we can't see the whole picture. We also work on practices out in the world. For example, I often have my clients practice kindness or practice compassion. That's a better way of putting it. As a way to really recognize that that's the need they have, that they want to be met. And we're conscious, by the way, about that, because a lot of people, they give to get in the world. In other words, they're giving, but you know these people. You're telling them, okay, they're giving, but I'm kind of worried about that. First is giving as a way of practicing something that you consciously know you want more of so that you can give it to yourself. And that's the orientation from my perspective.
And Freeman, one of the things that you talk about is basically, you know, the seven giving practices that can
right.
kind of enhance your emotional well-being and your happiness. What are those?
There's several of them. I mentioned the kindness, which is very important. The other one that's really important is practice creating value. So when someone is caught in weight issues, there's two things going on. One is these unhealthy patterns of behavior, and the other is a negative self-image. Low self-esteem would be another way of saying that. And so one of the things that happens, I mentioned the victim thing. We can really get caught in this, I call it victim consciousness. It's also been called scarcity mentality. The idea is that we're complaining, we're caught in the negativity, we're always giving as little as possible. And I say practice creating value. It's so healthy for your self-esteem to feel like you're being of value and of service in the world. And what happens is I equate it to trading time for dollars. In other words, you worry about how much money you're making in an hour. And I always say to people, you know, spend your time creating value. And you'll never need to worry about money because when you're valuable, people will pay you for it. I mean, when you really create value, you don't need to worry about hanging on to your job because that's a different orientation. And everyone wants employees that are valuable. You know, so it's a different way of thinking. So we have people do these practices, practice praising. That's a really important one. So that we give permission for our own gifts, talents, and abilities to come out by recognizing it in other people. And that really translates as we start to recognize, oh, permission for other people to be talented and gifted, and that gives me permission to be more gifted and more talented. And one of the practices I want to bring up is, it's really important, it's a different one. People, whenever I say it, they're like, what? Practice care fronting. One of the things that's really important in my process is that we hold ourselves and others accountable. That's a huge part of it. This isn't just think positive kind of thing. I mean, thinking positive is critical, but we also want to really be in our integrity and find the voice to ask for what we need. And so care fronting is a very important skill. The opposite, of course, would be to confront. When you confront, you're usually trying to make the other person wrong. When you care front, it's a very different way of approaching it. And Chris, I'll demonstrate with you if you don't mind. I might say to you, Chris, you know, I really care about our relationship, but I don't want there to be a misunderstanding between us. So I want to talk about what you said yesterday, because when you said it, my feelings were really hurt. And you see, I'm approaching it from a very different way versus saying, Chris, you're a jerk, or I can't believe you said that to me, or something like that. It's a care fronting is a different way of approaching things, and it really holds in our consciousness, what is it we want? You know, is it to be right, or is it to mend the relationship?
And it sounds almost like something you need to practice in the beginning, because I haven't seen that much out in the world.
We're so quick to bicker. We're so quick to take sides. So this care fronting is a very different orientation. But, you know, for folks who struggle with weight, all of these are things that we need to practice. I know I did. You know, and of course it extends beyond weight. It's just one of those things where when we practice being in a kind of consciousness, use intention and vision work, when we're clear about what it is we want in our lives, then everything we do or say is either in alignment with what we say we want, or it's not. And that level of consciousness where we're really directed changes everything.
You know, I think that's something that people struggle with often, is that, you know, being clear about what they want, especially overweight people who, many that I've met, are people pleasers. And how do people get clear? What have you seen works for that?
Well, what we have to do is we have to often unwind the story and realize the story is the best way we've known how to frame whatever it is. Okay, so something happens in our lives, we make up a story about it, and that has a lot of interpretation in it. And the question I always ask folks is, how's that working for you? In other words, how's the story you're telling serving you? And a lot of times they say to me, it isn't. And I say to them, well, good, then you're going to need to tell a different story. And I know that can be very complicated, but that's what happened. And I say, yeah, that's fine. But from a compassionate perspective, we often find we can unwind this stuff and see it from a very different vantage point that is to our advantage. I give the example oftentimes, you know, we talk in terms of wounds a lot, and a wound is any place from our emotional history that still holds a charge. And the idea of the wound, it isn't the event. So say some traumatic event occurred that then caused the wound. But see, the wound isn't actually from the event. The wound stems from the interpretation of the event. So it's the shame, the blame, and the guilt that are causing the wound. And the minute we lift that off, by offering compassion to ourselves and others, frankly, we have to be able to recognize that whoever else was involved in that experience was doing the best they could. I mean, they were doing whatever they were doing. And the idea is to not take that personally, to recognize that that's them and here's me, and it's my interpretation that's costing.
And that was interesting in weight release, your story about being a young child and having been teased about weight and having a mental image of being a chubby kid and then finding photos years later where you actually weren't.
That's the classic misperception, is that I heard the teasing of the kids and I internalized that. They called me Fat Ass Freeman. And the fat and the Freeman are those two words linked together, and that's why they said it. But it wasn't because I was necessarily inherently fat. It was just that's what I responded to, and so the kids kept doing it. But I misinterpreted that, and I had this crazy image in my head. I would report that I was fat as a kid. I wasn't thin. I wasn't a skinny kid, but I by no means was fat. So there's a classic story I told that was inaccurate, but I had no way of knowing that. I'll tell you another secret, as it were, about me, is I wet the bed till I was probably 11 or 12, and that was so traumatic for me. Long into my adulthood, it was a secret I didn't want anyone to know. I had wanted to go to the sleepover. My mother called the other mother and said, you know, I'm like 10 years old, you still need to wear a diaper. And it was so stressful, and I had so much shame about it. The minute I said it and offered forgiveness and compassion to myself, I can't tell you the level of relief. I mean, that, again, is a liberating journey. It's this lifting of this burden that we're doing something wrong. I mean, getting on the other side and having compassion for our humanity, that allows us to step into a sense of ourselves that's much more rewarding.
So acknowledging the process and the experiences, it sounds like a really important
piece of the puzzle, critical piece. Because anything that we deny or reject, it grows. It's in the back of our consciousness. And the more we have to hide, the more uncomfortable we feel in the world. When we have a secret, I just can't tell you personally how painful it was to have secrets in my life. And the minute I took the top off the secrets and started sharing them in a way that was healthy and nurturing and started to realize, you know, that this is something that lots of people struggle with, all of a sudden I was okay. That's why I offer, when people buy this book, that there's a group process. They can go on my website, the Service to Self website, and they can download this group process, because when we do this work with other people, oftentimes they're doing our work for us. You know, they're doing some work, and we're like, oh, that's so interesting. Next thing you know, we're like, oh, my God, that person's me. Like I say, when I said for the first time that I wet my bed till I was 12, you know, I was in a group, and one of the guys said, so did I. And I went, oh, my goodness, you're kidding me. You know, and then we started sharing our experience, and I just felt so grateful because I wasn't alone anymore. I called it the hell of my own creation, which was all these judgments I had towards myself. Yeah, I released the weight. Okay, I'm not 275 pounds anymore, you know. But that's not what really got lifted. It was the burden of this thought system I carried around, you know, that I had to be somebody, this ought to, this should have, all these messages in my brain that I had to unwind, that I had to have a different way of looking at myself and the world around me that, in essence, served me. The other one didn't. I just didn't know that.
So with weight release, do people also follow any kind of diet, or is everybody on their own in that, or how do you work that part of it?
Well, here's what I say. A lot of people who are heavy are going to need some kind of plan, because what's happened is they're putting more food in their body than their body actually needs. That's logistically what's happening. And so they are out of touch with what an appropriate amount of food would be. So I actually support lots of different approaches from a dietary standpoint. The only thing that's critical is the attitude they go to it with. If they come to it with the attitude that this is how I'm nurturing myself, and they have that orientation, then that's the piece of the puzzle that I provide. And we have a nutritionist. So for people who want to work with our process, they can do that. He's wonderful, and he can really help them with that. But they can also do plans on their own. As long as it comes from a perspective of honoring themselves, taking care of themselves, and nurturing themselves. Because what we're really trying to change is the relationship with food. But if it comes from a place of guilt, it becomes about counting points to the degree where that becomes the new way of beating themselves up. Stop. We need to do a new orientation.
This is Chris Costello reporting for Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Most overweight people have many, many different diets quite well memorized.
That's it. And I always say, you know what to eat. That's not really the issue. It's the orientation towards it. I'll tell you some of the simplest things. I teach little skills like breathe between bites. I mean, this seems really silly. Like, okay, breathe between bites, that's going to help. It does. We do a thing called body talk, where you actually have a conversation with your body. Sounds hokey, but at the end of the day, you know, you're out of touch with what your body really needs. So there's a process of getting back in touch with what my body needs. So there are skills and tools within the process that are highly effective for helping people. But I'm not against people having outside resources to supplement the work that they're going to do with me.
And Freeman, another thing that you write about on your blog on servicetoself.com is, what is the truth behind the American obesity crisis? I mean, we have a country now that, and we're looking at a world soon, that is just struggling with tremendous challenges with overweight kids, overweight adults, obese adults. What is the truth?
Well, the blog, the title was Fat and Starving. And the idea behind the truth is that it's not just a health crisis. I believe it's a spiritual crisis. I believe it's an emotional crisis. I think people need to get back in touch with what really feeds them. I mean, we're so caught up in these images of beauty and success that aren't serving us. You know, 50 years ago, Marilyn Monroe was considered beautiful. Today, she'd be considered overweight. Or you go to the museum and you see these pictures, thousands of years of pictures of women, you know, and their bodies didn't look like stick figures. I mean, what are we doing to ourselves? We're out of touch with what really feeds us. We're oriented toward these notions that don't serve us. And so we all personally need to take an inventory and figure out what really feeds us and direct our lives and say no to the industries that aren't supporting us. I'm grateful in Southern California, and I know in the Central Valley, we're seeing more Whole Foods pop up, more Trader Joe's. This is fantastic. And we're seeing some of the big supermarkets shut down because people are finally recognizing, like, wow, I don't want to be putting that in my body. I say often because it's become a political movement. And, you know, when things get politicized, they don't often change. But when they are personalized, when people take personal responsibility, the world shifts dramatically. So that's what I'm really encouraging. If people take this obesity crisis, the word crisis is interesting because in Chinese, it's represented by two characters. And one of those characters by itself means danger, and the other character by itself means opportunity. And I see this as an opportunity.
And it is. There's been a lot of dialogue that's coming out, and a lot of people are getting a lot more information now, too, about what's healthy food, and I think that's going to be helpful.
It's valuable if we're coming at it from a self-loving perspective. If we find it as another way to beat ourselves up, then it doesn't help us.
So, Freeman, what else can you tell people, you know, for that person out there that's listening, that is feeling, you know, overwhelmed by being overweight and wants to try and change their lives? What else can you tell them?
The funny thing about the word is pain. You know, when people come to me and they say they want to change, I often take that as an indication they don't like themselves. So I want to be a little careful with that word. And just because of the way that some people are using it, and so maybe what people want to do is grow. Maybe they want to heal. Maybe they want to evolve. I mean, I don't know what the word is for them, but they have to start by accepting themselves where they are. I mean, that's really it. Because the truth is, they've done the best they could till now. This thought or these ideas, this approach is new. And so let it be new. And what I offer to people is try it on one step at a time. I mean, I call them stretches. You just stretch into it. Or put your big toe in the water. I mean, I have a site called WinTention. It's a free social networking site. It acts a lot like Facebook, but it's really about being intentional. It's not about what your dog ate for breakfast or something like that. So people can go on, form groups, you know, friend people, and they can share their daily intentions. They can pick, I think there's six categories of things they can work with. One, of course, is weight release, but others are things like parenting as a vocation or relationships or career. It can pick these categories or groups that they want to then be very intentional about. And so this is a very powerful thing. I do it every day. I do the daily intention with the group. But that piece is one that I do, and my wife does it. And so it's very important to keep putting out in the world what it is we do want. Because when we focus on what we don't want, we kind of get more of what we don't want. So really being clear on where we want to go, I had this thing earlier, when people go into the therapist's office, they establish the problem, and that's their focus. They're going to get more problems. Whereas when someone comes to me, I ask them what they want in their lives, and then we orient toward that. They will meet with resistance. They will meet with all the issues that come up, sure. But at least we know where we're going.
Yeah, and that's so refreshing. I mean, to start with that question of what do you want rather than, you know, how can you fix yourself?
Because the truth is you're not broken. I mean, that is the sort of spiritual truth. We all feel broken, but the truth is we're whole. And it's really remembering or recognizing, recognizing, putting back together the truth about ourselves. And the truth is we've done the best we could. And the thing I want to offer is that people who want to heal, there's so many resources out there. I mean, I'm doing my piece, but there's other things that people can do. And again, in the book, I recommend that people supplement the work with other things that honor them so they really move their lives in the direction that's going to ultimately, ultimately be of greatest service out in the world. You know, that's the name of my company, Service to Self. But the premise is you can't give service to others unless you're of service to yourself. So when people are more self-centered, I don't mean egotistical or narcissistic or anything like that, I mean they really recognize that taking care of their own needs allows them to give their gift. And everyone's got a special gift. And everyone's got some collection of gifts, talents, abilities, experience that I believe the world needs.
Well, we just want to thank you, Freeman, for joining us. And I'm looking forward to checking it out and looking forward to what your next projects are.
I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the end of our interview with Freeman Michaels. I hope you found this helpful. And for more great interviews on inspiration, motivation, health and wellness, and marketing, go to my site, michaelsenoffshardtofindseminars.com.